الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا إنه من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فإن خير الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار أما بعد. We give thanks to Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May the blessing and peace be upon the noble Prophet Muhammad, his household and companions all together. Inshallah, this is going to be a continuation of the book Al-Muharrar fi al-Hadith, written by Al-Imam Ibn Abdul Hadi alayhi rahmatullah. Still on Salatul Tatawwur. وعن عائشة رضي الله عنها قالت كان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم إذا صلى ركعتي الفجر اضطجع على شقه الأيمن رواه البخاري. عائشة may Allah be pleased with her said the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم whenever he observed ركعت الفجر اتجع على شقه الأيمن, he would lie down on his right side. That is after the observance of ركعت الفجر, the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم would lie down on his right side, expecting the Muazzin to come and call him. One Abi Urayrah radiallahu anhu called from Abu Urayrah, may Allah be pleased with him, he said قَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ إِذَا صَلَّ أَحْدُكُمْ الرَّكَعْتَيْنِ قَبْلَ صَلَاةِ السُّبْحِ فَلْيَفْتَجِ عَلَى جَنْبِ الْأَيْمَنِ. If one of you observes two rak'ah of the dawn, that is the two rak'ah before the subh prayer, فَلْيَفْتَجِ عَلَى جَنْبِ الْأَيْمَنِ, he should lie on his right side. He should lie down on his right side. رواه أحمد, الإمام أحمد reported this, وأبو داود, and أبو داود والترمذي, أن الإمام الترمذي وقال حديث حسن صحيح غريب. He said حديث حسن صحيح غريب. غريب means it has just a shame. وقد تكلم أحمد والبيهقي وغيرهما في هذا الحديث. الإمام أحمد and الحافظ البيهقي and other than them have spoken on this hadith, that is, they passed some negative comments on this hadith. وَصَحَّهُ فَعِلَهُ الْإِتِجَاءُ لَأَمْرَهُ بِهِ. They said, what is authentic is that the Prophet would lie down on his right side after the observance of Raka'at al-Fajr, not his command, that he commanded the companions to lie down after the observance of Raka'at al-Fajr. Now this hadith, the scholars of hadith differ on its authenticity, as the author has said. Some authenticated and some said it is not authentic. Some authenticated it, some said is not authentic. But the fact that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would lie down on his right side, this is established. They all agree that this is authentic. But the command that the people should do it, this is where they differ. Sheikh Al-Albani alayhi rahmatullah is among those who authenticated the hadith. However, our mother Aisha radiallahu anha let us know that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would do that if she was asleep. But if she was awake, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would speak with her. But if she was asleep, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would lie down on his right side, expecting the Mu'adhin to come and invite him for the Salah. So this tells us that it's not something that he is compulsory to do. It's something that we can say it is permissible or it is recommended. The highest you can say is to say it is recommended, it is mustahab to do that after the observance of Raka'at al-Fajr, that one lies on the right side, one lies down on the right side, so that it is what recommended. That is the highest one can see. But to go to the level of saying it is compulsory, relying on the hadith that Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, إِذَا صَلَّ أَحَدُكُمْ الرَّكَعْتَيْنِ قَبْلَ صَلَاةِ الصُّبْحِ, when one of you observes two rak'ah before subh, فَلْيَرْتَجُ, this is Amr command. And a lot of scholars of Usul Fiqh will say, Al-Aslu fil Amri al-Ujub. The basis in the command in the Quran or in the Hadith is obligation. So ordinarily one would have said it's obligatory. But for the fact that our mother Aisha radiallahu anha said that if she was awake, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would be discussing with her. And if she was asleep, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would lie down on his right side, shows that it is not compulsory. However, Ibn Hazm al-Andalusi said that the hadith is authentic and we still benefit from it. Al-aslu fil amri al-ujub. So to him he said, any person who observes the two rak'ah before Fajr, and the person does not lie down on his right side after the observance, if the person goes to observe Salatul Fajr, he has no Salah. So this is what is a very strict position. Understanding it from Al-Amru that is contained in that hadith, فَلْيَرْتَجُلْ. But even those who say the hadith is authentic, they say the Amru there is not lil-ujub, is what? Lil-istihbab. Because our mother Aisha radiallahu anha said what? إِن كُنْتُ مُسْتَكِذَةً حَدَّثَنِي, if I was awake, he will address me, will speak to him, to Arada, wa illa, so if not, she said, اتَّجَعَلَ شِقِّهِ الْأَيْمَنِ, he will lie down on his right side. That shows the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam will just do it as a kind of Arada, or if you say, the Amru Jai, the one that is instructing the believers to do it, the instruction is not for obligation, rather the recommendation. Wallahu alam, this appears to be the most correct view on the matter. Shaykh Qutb ibn Taymiyyah alayhi rahmatullah argue that the hadith is not authentic, and this would be a kind of mistake on the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that some of the reporters have done. But Wallahu A'lam, I think the middle position, so to say, is to say the Amru is what? Lil-Istihbab. So Wallahu A'lam. وعن ابن عمر رضي الله عنهما أن رجلا سأل النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم عن صلاة الليل. عبد الله بن عمر said a man asked the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم concerning the prayer of the night. فقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم said صلاة الليل مثنى مثنى. The prayer of the night is two raka with taslim. Shuraka with Taslim. فَإِذَا خَشَحْدُكُمُ الصُّبْحَ. If one of you is afraid that Subh may come or may overtake him, overcome him, صَلَّ رَكَعَةً وَاحِدَةً تُوْتِرُ لَهُ مَا قَدْ صَلَّى. You should observe one rakah, and that will be the witr of what he has observed. We know the recommendation is that it is good for us to end our prayer of the night with witr. As the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, اجعلوا آخر صلاتكم بالليل وترا. Let your last prayer at night be witr. So if you want to observe nafila, your qiyam al-layl, the best is for you to do two. Salatul layl, matna. You do two. Fa'idha khashadukum subha. However, when one of you is afraid that subhu may meet him here, salla rak'atan wahida. You should observe one rak'ah. Tu tiru la'uma qad salla. That will be the witr of what he has what observed. وعنه رضي الله عنه from Abdullah bin Umar, may Allah be pleased with him, عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم from the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم قال he said صلاة الليل والنهار مثنى مثنى. The prayer of the night and the day is two rakah with taslim. رواه أحمد الإمام أحمد الكوتيج وأبو داوود عن أبو داوود والترمذي عن الترمذي وابن ماجه عن ابن ماجه والنسائي وابن حبان عن الإمام النسائي likewise الإمام ابن حبان وصححه البخاري الإمام البخاري declared to be صحيح. وقال أحمد في رواية الميموني وغيره عنه الإمام أحمد according to the report of Al-Maymuni, Abu al-Hasan al-Maymuni, from him, وغيره, and according to reports of some other, عنه, from him, إسناده جيد. He said what the shame is جيد, is okay. So Al-Imam al-Bukhari said, the hadith is authentic. That is, صَلَاتُ اللَّيْلِ وَالنَّهَارِ مَثْنَى. The prayer of the night and the day is two rakah. وقال النسائي الإمام النسائي said وهذا الحديث عندي خطأ. He said this hadith to me is خطأ, is a mistake. وقال الترمذي الإمام الترمذي commented اختلف أصحاب الشعبة في حديث ابن عمر فرفعه بعضهم ووقفه بعضهم. The students of Shu'ba bin Hajjaj, they differ concerning this hadith, that is the hadith of Ibn Umar. فَرَفَعُوا بَعْضُهُمْ. Some of them ascribe it to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَوَقَفَوا بَعْضُهُمْ. And some of them treated it as the statement of Abdullah bin Umar. وقال الدارقطني الإمام الدارقطني said الصحيح ذكر الصلاة الليل دون ذكر النهار. What is correct is the mention of صلاة الليل and not صلاة الليل والنهار. So you can see this hadith, the scholars of hadith themselves differ concerning the authenticity. Al-Imam al-Bukhari said it is authentic, while Al-Imam Ahmad also said it is authentic. So though in some of the reports it was said that Al-Imam Ahmad did not authenticate the hadith. So we'll look at the statement of An-Nasa'i, the statement of At-Tirmidhi and Ad-Darqutni. We'll see that they did not tilt towards the authentication of the hadith. This is how scholars of hadith differ at times among themselves on the authenticity or otherwise of the hadith. In a situation like that, a student of knowledge will try to go through the argument to see which one is more convincing of the two positions. So Allah A'lam, Shaykh Al-Albani alayhi rahmatullah authenticated this in some of his works, and this Allah A'lam appears to be the with their opinion. So one can go back to some of the works of Shaykh Al-Albani alayhi rahmatullah on this. Now, when we say Salatul Layl wa Nahar, Masna Masna, it means when you want to observe Nafila at during the day. So it is good that you observe Turaka with Taslim, Turaka with Taslim, just as you do at night. So you observe Turaka with Taslim, Turaka with Taslim. So if one observes maybe 4 raka to go, there is no harm. Just as this may be permissible according to some scholars in the prayer of the night, particularly those who try to interpret the hadith of Aisha radiallahu anha, that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam who observed 11 raka. She said, you observed 4 raka, لا تسأل عن حسنهن وطولهن ثم أربعا لا تسأل عن حسنهن وطولهن. So Messenger of Allah who observed 4 raka, forget about the beauty and the length of those 4 raka. Then you observe other 4 raka, forget about the beauty and the length of those 4 raka. Then you observe 3 raka. Here she mentioned 4 plus 3. This Shaykh Al-Albani alayhi rahmatullah has a view that you can observe 4 at a go. 4 at a go. So then you observe what? 3, based on this hadith. However, most scholars, they said one should not understand that 4, 4, 3 to mean that it is 4 at a go. Rather, it is 4 with taslim after 2 raka. That the meaning of 4 is because the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam will have a break at the end of every 4 raka. Not because he will not make taslim until he had observed 4 raka. You have a break. And this is what most scholars are upon. And wallahu alam, this appears to be the stronger opinion. However, if you see somebody that does the other one, one cannot be harsh on the person. So when we go by the hadith, Salatul Layl wa Nahar Masna Masna, the prayer of the night and the day is 2 raka. That is, this is what is preferred. This is what is preferred. So Allahu A'lam. وعن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أفضل الصيام بعد رمضان شهر الله المحرم وأفضل الصلاة بعد الفريضة صلاة الليل. أبو هريرة said that the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم said the best fasting after that of Ramadan is the fasting of المحرم Shahrullah al-Muharram. The scholars will call our attention to something that is somehow maybe linguistic, so to say. it has to do with the language, that you say the month of Muharram, the month of Muharram, Sharu, Muharram. No, we have to add Alif and Lam to it. It is what? Shahru al-Muharram, not Sharu Muharram. The name of the month is Al-Muharram. We had what? The Alif and Lam to it. We do not omit the Alif and Lam. So the name of the month is Al-Muharram, not just Muharram. So, Abdalu Siyam Ba'al Ramadan. The best fasting after Ramadan is Shahrullah, is the month of Allah, Al-Muharram, that is called Al-Muharram. وَأَفْضَلُ الصَّلَاةِ بَعْدَ الْفَرِيدَةِ صَلَاةُ اللَّيْلِ. And the best salah after the compulsory salawat is Salatul Layl. So it is clear from this hadith that the best fast is that is fast in the month of Al-Muharram. But one may ask, why is it that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was not reported to fast Al-Muharram most? What was reported is that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam who fast the night and the tenth, or he said, "La in jaa qabina asumanna ta'atiya." If I were to live to the following year or next year, I will fast ta'atiya. So he fast Ashura, the 10th of Al-Muharram, and he said Ufat Ta'aswa if he lived to the following year. But as allowed of it, he did not live to witness the following Al-Muharram. So, but in this hadith, he said the best fasting is that of Al-Muharram. Some scholars said he later got this information, that he is the brain later brought to him this information that the best time to fast, the Nafila fasting of the month, is Al-Muharram. This is what some scholars have said, said by Nawawi and some others. But what was common is that he will fast the month of Sha'ban, to the extent that it was said that what كان يصومه إلا قليلا أو كان يصومه كلا. He will fast everything, or he will fast most of it except little. As contained the hadith of Aisha radiallahu anha, Salama, some others, that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would fast the month of Sha'ban. So he will fast almost everything, or he will fast most of it. So the information of the Muharram being the best after Ramadan, this information could be said to have come to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam later in his life. So Allahu A'lam. As for the best salah after the compulsory salah, it is Salatul Layl, the prayer of the night. This is the best salah after the compulsory salah. And that's where it is encouraged that we observe Qiyamul Layl as much as we can. As much as we can. So we shouldn't abandon Qiyamul Layl. We shouldn't abandon Qiyamul Layl. Even if it is what? The witr, the Shafwan witr that we observe. But it's better that we do more than that. We have read that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Salatul Layl masna masna. We have read that the prayer of the night is two rakah. We have read that Aisha radiallahu anha said, Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam observe 11 rakah, 13 rakah. So all these are established, that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam at times will observe 9 rakah, at times will observe 7 rakah. So all these he will do. So the only thing that one should try to know which time is suitable for one, if it is to observe it at the fourth third of the night, if that is what is looking for one, one should watch, do that. If it is observing it at the middle of the night, one should watch, do that. If he's observing it towards the last part of the night, that is using the third part of the night to observe it, this is good. And this is the best, as encouraged by the Messenger from Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then it's left to you to observe the number of raka'at that you can observe. If it is 11, if it is 9, 7, 5, 3. Even if it is 1. So, but for one not to observe Qiyamul Layl at all, this is not something that is good. So the one who doesn't do that, that he does not observe Qiyamul Layl, as he said that Al-Imam Ahmad alayhi rahmatullah said, is Rajul Su, is an evil man. One Zayd bin Khalid Juhani radiallahu anhu annahu qal, from Zayd bin Khalid Al-Juhani, may Allah be pleased with him, he said, لَأَرْمُقَنَّ صَلَاةَ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ اللَّيْلَةِ. One day he said, tonight I would observe, I will watch the prayer of the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم. فَصَلَّى رَكَعَتَيْنِ خَفِيفَتَيْنِ. He said, the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم observed two light rak'ah. ثُمَّ صَلَّى رَكَعَتَيْنِ طَوِيلَتَيْنِ. Then he observed two lengthy rak'ah. ثُمَّ صَلَّى رَكَعَتَيْنِ. Then he observed two rak'ah. وَهُمَا دُونَ اللَّتَيْنِ قَبْلَهُمَا. They were not as lengthy as the two before them. ثُمَّ صَلَّى رَكَعَتَيْنِ. Then he observed two rak'ah. وَهُمَا دُونَ اللَّتَيْنِ قَبْلَهُمَا. They were not as lengthy as the two before them. ثُمَّ صَلَّى رَكَعَتَيْنِ وَهُمَا دُونَ اللَّتَيْنِ قَبْلَهُمَا. Then he observed two rak'ah, which were not as lengthy as the ones before them. ثُمَّ صَلَّى رَكَعَتَيْنِ وَهُمَا دُونَ اللَّتَيْنِ قَبْلَهُمَا. Then he observed two rak'ah that were not as lengthy as the ones before them. ثُمَّ صَلَّى رَكَعَتَيْنِ وَهُمَا دُونَ اللَّتَيْنِ قَبْلَهُمَا. Then he observed two rak'ah, and they were not as lengthy as the ones before them. ثُمَّ أَوْتَرَ. Then he observed witr, one rak'ah. فَذَلِكَ ثَلَاثَ عَشْرَةَ رَكَعَةً. So altogether, they are 13 rak'ah, rawahu Muslim. So this is what the hadith of Zayd bin Khalid al-Juhani. When Ibn Abbas قال, from Abdullah ibn Abbas. Now before we proceed, he said he observed two rak'ah khafifatin light. So the two rak'ah, the scholar said, these are what? The two rak'ah that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will start the night prayer with. In Sahih Muslim and some other books, he also encouraged us that if any one of you is observing prayer in the night, he said, فَلْيَسْتَفْتِحْ بِرَكَعَتَيْنِ خَفِيفَتَيْنِ. He should start with two light rak'ah. So if you had two light rak'ah, so the 11 rak'ah, every two will be what? 13 rak'ah. So if you add sunnatul isha to each, or you add rak'ah al-fajr to each, it will be 15. So and that's why in some reports, they will say 15, meaning they've added maybe the rak'ah al-fajr to each, or the sunnatul isha al-ba'diyah, the two rak'ah after salatu al-isha. Some reporters will say 13. So those who say 13, is either they added the two rak'ah that the two light rak'ah, or the added watch rak'at al-fajr. In some of the reports from Aisha radiallahu anha, she said Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam observed 13 rak'ah the rak'at al-fajr together with rak'at al-fajr. That means she added rak'at al-fajr to each. وعن ابن عباس رضي الله عنهما قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم He said that the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم said إذا قام من الليل كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إذا قام من الليل The Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم whenever he rose at night the tahajjud observing tahajjud قال اللهم لك الحمد أنت قيم السماوات والأرض ومن فيهن ولك الحمد لك ملك السماوات والأرض وما فيهن ولك الحمد أنت نور السماوات والأرض وما فيهن ولك الحمد أنت مالك السماوات والأرض وما فيهن ولك الحمد أنت الحق ووعدك الحق ولقاؤك حق وقولك حق والجنة حق والنار حق والنبيون حق ومحمد حق والساعة حق اللهم لك أسلمت وبك آمنت وعليك توكلت وإليك أنبت وبك خاصمت وإليك حاكمت فاغفر لما قدمت وما أخرت وما أسررت وما علمت أنت المقدم وأنت المؤخر لا إله إلا أنت أو لا إله غيرك قال سفيان وزاد بن كريم أبو أمية ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله متفق عليه So Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم will say this dua at times. He will say this dua first. This dhikr, he will say it first. And this is agreed upon by Al-Bukhari and Muslim. وَلَوْضُ لِلْبُخَارِ The wording is the wording of Al-Bukhari. وَفِي لَوْضٍ لَهُمَا In a wording reported by both of them, أَنْتَ رَبُّ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ بَدَلَ لَكَ مُلْكُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ In place of لَكَ مُلْكُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ We have it أنت رب السماوات والأرض وفي آخره at the end أنت إلهي لا إله إلا أنت وفي لفظ لمسلم in the report of Muslim in the wording of Muslim أنت قيام السماوات والأرض instead of what قيم أنت قيام السماوات والأرض وللنسائي in the report of نسائي في آخره at the end ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله وعند ابن ماجه ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بك So this dhikr is recommended The Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم will say it So whenever he rules to observe Qiyam al-Layl So this is one of the adhkar that he will say when he rules to observe Qiyam al-Layl. وَنْ أُبْنِ السَّلَمَةَ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهَا أَنَّ النَّبِيَّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ اسْتَيْقَظَ لَيْلَةً فَقَالَ سُبْحَانَ اللَّهِ مَاذَا أُنْزِلَ اللَّيْلَ مِنَ الْفِتْنَةِ مَاذَا أُنْزِلَ مِنَ الْقَضَائِينَ مَا يُنْكِذُ من يوكذ صوائب الحجرات رب كاسية في الدنيا عارية في الآخرة رواه البخاري إن شاء الله we stop here because this needs more explanation سبحانك اللهم بحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك The question is, if an imam on the day of Jumu'ah in his khutbah did not teach, He delivered just one khutbah. So, and he prayed like that. And he did not remember until after some days what is the faith of the salah that the people observed. The salah is valid. The salah is valid. Though the khutbah is supposed to be two khutbah, that is a sitting between the two khutbah. But let's assume that somebody does that, an imam does that, so mistakenly or forgetfully, so this does not affect the salah. It does not affect the salah. Wallahu a'lam. Now, is it considered tabarruj when a lady uses etet outside a house? We can say this is tabarruj. We can call it tabarruj. So, this is something that is permissible, unless if she has any ulterior motive to that. If there is any ulterior motive, she just uses it. So we can say that is what tabarruj, as long as that does not expose our aura. So wallahu a'lam. Then another thing is, what is she using it for? So this may be important to know. So if it's to listen to music and the likes or things like that, so this is haram. Or maybe she uses it for the Quran and the likes. So there is nothing wrong with this, wallahu a'lam. Now the question is the four raka, if one wants to pray four raka as understood by Sheikh Al-Albani, I think that is the question. So is it going to be four raka at a go, or is it going to be four raka with tashahud but no taslim? Two raka tashahud, then two raka tashahud and taslim. It can be either. So, and that's why in some of the reports, it was said that Imam Ahmad Ali Rahmatullah is of the opinion that there will be two rakah with tashahud, then two rakah with tashahud and taslim. How this is clear? So, if one prays four rakah at a go, it's okay. And if one does it, two raka with tashahud, and two raka with tashahud and taslim after. So this is also okay. But the best is two raka, tashahud, taslim. Two raka, tashahud, taslim. That is the best for Allah. Alaykum salam. The question is the narration that Aisha radiallahu anha said that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would pray 11 rakah, but if he forgot or he slept up or he was sick, so to say, that he will pray 12 rakah during the day. How is the athar authentic? The athar is authentic. So ordinarily we are encouraged to end our night prayer with odd, and that was the practice of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam most of the time. Though at times he would end it with even number. Like the day he prayed 9 raka, he prayed 8 raka at a go without tashahud. So he made tashahud on the 8th raka, but he didn't make the sleep. He rose to the 9th raka, he did tashahud and made the sleep. Then he prayed 2 raka seated, and that was what he terminated his night prayer with before he prayed rakat al-fajr. So and that's why scholars said the statement ij'alu akhira salatikum bil-layli witra, let your last salah in the night be witr, is not bil ujub, is not obligatory, it is lil istihbab, is a recommendation. So because he himself also did evil, that is, he prayed 2 raka after he had prayed odd, after the 9th raka, in which he made the sleep, he started then to bring 2 more raka seated. That shows it's not obligatory. Some scholars may argue that, can't we say that is for the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? As for us, we are supposed to stick to what he has told us. Ij'alu akhira salatikum bil-layli witra. We mentioned here that Al-Imam Ibn Khuzaymah alayhi rahmatullah reported in his Sahih that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Inna hada safar, aw inna hada sahru, sahra. Inna hada safara, aw inna hada sahra, juhdun wa thiqan." He said, this safar, journey, or this far, that is having a sleepless night, staying awake, he said, was something of is jahadun wa thiqal, is something that is difficult. He said, wa idha salla ahadukum, if any one of you is praying at night, he said, فَلِيَرْكَ رَكَعَتَيْنِ, he should observe 2 raka. فَإِنْ يَسْتَيْقَظَ, if he wakes up later, he said, وَإِلَّا كَانَ تَعْلَى. So if he did not wake up, or he doesn't wake up, those 2 raka will be in place of what he has observed. So this is corroborating the position of those who say, you may not end your night prayer with an odd raka. Wallahu a'lam. No? Now the hadith that says that if one of you observes the raka'at al-fajr, he should lie down on his right side. The one who holds the view that it is authentic, if the person forgets to do that, what is the fate of his salah, that is his subhi prayer? As you said, that even those who authenticated it, majority of them are of the opinion that is what lil istihbab, is recommended, it's not compulsion. So when you miss something that is recommended, so it does not affect your watch, does not affect your fajr prayer. Unless if one goes with the position of Ibn Hazm, and which is what an extreme view. So Allahu A'lam. Now the question is, somebody who has observed 6 raka and is afraid that witr is coming, sorry, fajr is approaching, so he brings the odd raka to make it 7. Now, and he intends praying 11, have you? in 10:11. But because the Fajr is coming in, it stops at 7. Can you not pray it during Duha time? No, that's gone. That's gone. The only thing is that he can get, or he can also observe Salatul Duha. He can observe Salatul Duha separately. So he has observed Qiyamul Layl. He can also observe Salatul Duha. So there is no need saying he's going to complete the remaining raka of Qiyamul Layl. He's going to complete it or complete them during Duha time. There is no need for that. Wallahu a'lam. Now, is it permissible for somebody to leave the masjid when the imam is combining salah? Let's assume the imam is combining salah to maghrib and isha. Huh? But the person is not convinced that they can combine during that time because the weather does not show the sign that they can combine the maghrib and the isha. Can he leave the masjid? Yes, he can leave. He can leave, particularly when the imam is observing the jam'u without a genuine excuse. Without a genuine excuse. Now we say a genuine excuse. Take for instance, if somebody is observing it because the weather, because the weather is cloudy somehow. So is that enough? So according to most scholars, that is not enough reason for one to do jamr until it rains. Or maybe it's very windy. If it's very windy, one can watch do combination. So, but for one to say you want to do combination because it's drizzling or because it's cloudy, this is not a good reason. Some of our brothers today, they do combination whenever it's Jesus. So this is wrong. There is no scholar that is saying that. In open combining Zuhr and Asr is something that is controversial among the scholars as a result of rain. Though what is correct is that you can combine, and that is the view of Al-Imam Shafi'i Ali Rahmatullah. Al-Imam Shafi'i Ali Rahmatullah clearly explained this in his book Al-Umm. So it's not the position of some Anabila as some of the Mashaykh here in Nigeria have said, or one of the Mashaykh has said. It's not the view of some of the Anabila. Look, Al-Imam Shafi'i Ali Rahmatullah in his book Al-Umm explain that you can do combination of Zuhr and Asr if it rains. And he uses the hadith of Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma. The same hadith that those who say you can do combination of Maghrib and Isha will use the hadith of Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma. Is the same hadith that the Sheikh used. And the Sheikh argued, if you allow yourself to use that hadith for Maghrib and Isha, then the hadith should be used for what? For Zuhr and Asr. Because he said what? Jama'a Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam bayna al-Zuhr wal-Asr wa bayna al-Maghrib wal-Isha. He said what? Fi ghayri khawfin wala safar. Fi ghayri khawfin wala safar. So not that there was what? Khawf, there was fear. And not that there was what? There was safar, there was. So, why did he do the jamr? So you say because it is because of rain. Then the rain now allows people to do jamr for Maghrib and Isha. In the hadith, what you have is what? Jama'a bayna zuhr wal asr. It combined between zuhr and what? And asr. And Maghrib and Isha. So if you acknowledge that it is because of rain, so definitely it has also affected zuhr and asr. And that's why in some of the reports of Al-Imam Malik, if you go to Mu'attaf of Al-Imam Malik, he said maybe it was for rain. That is, Al-Imam Malik himself said what? possibly because of what? Rain. Some say possibly because of what? Marrow, because of what? Sickness. Those who say because of sickness, some scholars say even because of sickness, was were all the Muslims, all the companions who prayed behind the Prophet sick? If the Messenger of Allah was sick, the others might not be sick. So, but if he says because of what? Because of rain, so that is what is acknowledged. Then Jabir bin Zayd Abu Sha'sa, he said possibly he delayed Zuhr, till the last part of his time, and what? He prayed it. Then prayed until at the beginning of what? Of his time. With that, he did Jamu Suri. That is, Jabir bin Zayd Abu Sha'sa said it. The same Abu Sha'sa, Ayus Tiani said, possibly is because of what? Is because of rain. He said, possibly. So himself was not sure. So, but Abdullah ibn Abbas, who reported the hadith, has finished everything. He said, what? Arada Allah yuhrija ummatahu. He did not want to put his ummah in haraj. So if there's anything that would be of haraj, that will put one in problem or in what? In state of confusion, disturbance, then one can do what? One can do jamu because of that. But for one to say you can't do jamu if it is in the afternoon, but you can do it if it is what? In the night. There is no clear evidence that this differentiates between the two. The hadith said what? Jam'a bayna dhuhri wal asr wa bayna al maghrib wal isha. So limiting it to maghrib and isha as what destroyed the hadith. So if there is rain, that is okay to for one to watch, to observe the jamu, then one can do that. Then the other evidence they will use is that Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu anhu would do jamu with the umara between maghrib and isha. If they did jamu, he would do jamu with the umara during the time of Abdullah bin Umar, when they did jamu between maghrib and isha, he also join them. So we cannot understand from that they will not do jamu between Zuhr and Asr. What the narrator has said is that he would do jamu with them if they did jamu between Maghrib and Isha. So for one to understand it better, if one reads Al-Umm of Al-Imam Shafi'i alayhi rahmatullah, he has been. So to say it is some anabila that said it. No, it's not some anabila. Yes, we have anabila scholars who hold the same position. Though the position of the Hanabila, generally speaking, is that you can't do jamu between Zuhr and Asr. That is the general position. But there are some Hanabila who say you can do that. But the Shafi'iyya, their position is you can do jamu between Zuhr and Asr if it rains. That is the position of the Shafi'iyya. So, Allahu A'lam. Okay. Now the question is, somebody came in late, the Imam was already in the second rakah, so he joined the Imam in the second rakah. So when the Imam prayed the fourth rakah, instead of doing tashahud and make taslim, the Imam rose to the fifth rakah. So the one who met the Imam in the second rakah, should he rise with the Imam so that you pray the fifth rakah with the Imam to be his own watch, his own fourth rakah, or what should he do? Now, as for those who started with the Imam, let's start with that. Are they supposed to follow the Imam, or they are supposed to call his attention? And if the Imam instructs the watch, they do not follow him. What most scholars are upon is that they do not follow him. If they call his attention and he persists, he carries on. So they should not follow him. Because if they follow him, that means they have deliberately prayed 5 rakah. So they should sit and wait. So when he makes his own taslim, they make their own taslim. How this is planned? This is what most scholars say. And they say if they go with him, they rise to the 5th rakah with him, and they pray with him, their salah is batila. However, Sheikh Al-Albani Ali Rahmatullah said they are supposed to follow him. Why? Because when the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did similar thing, so the companions followed him. The companion followed him. But one may say, but there is no more revelation now. So the companion followed the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, thinking the salah had been watched, increased. So no more revelation. So no imam can tell us that watch, maybe he has received wahy to pray the 5th rakah. So, and that's why the jumhur of the scholars, they should not follow him. They should call his attention, and if he insists, they should watch. They should not continue with him. So, however, the imam may have omitted something. Take for instance, maybe in one of the rakats, maybe did not recite Surah Al-Fatiha. We can't tell. And one who does not recite Surah Al-Fatiha, such a person will have to abrogate the rakah in which he has missed the recitation of Surah Al-Fatiha. How this is played. So saying they should follow him, if they call his attention and he's not responding, that they should follow him, I think is a worthy position. As for the one who did not meet him from beginning, he met him in the 2nd rakah. So what if he follows him? So scholars differ on these two. Some said the same thing done by that, I mean the jumhur, the same thing done by the ma'mumun who met the salah from beginning should be done by him. So he should break away and observe his own remaining rakah. He should not use the rakah where the imam made an error. Oh, Allahu alam, if you pray with the imam, the remaining rakah, so there is nothing wrong with that. So because that will only complete his own rakah 4. So, Allahu alam, and I think this is the position of Sheikh bin Baz alayhi rahmatullah, Allahu alam. No, last question. No? Okay.
This is one
Well, if I get the question clearly, that is maybe before As-Salatu Khair Min An-Nawm, first or in the first. Okay, now. So the question is, if you are in an area where the Muazzin does not call Adhan at the right time, that is the 2nd Adhan, which is the Adhan of Fajr, which is the Adhan of Fajr, where you are supposed to stop eating, or which erupts the observance of Rakat al-Fajr. You know, you cannot observe Rakat al-Fajr until the true dawn has come out. And you cannot, it is not binding on you to stop eating sahur until the true dawn has come out. So how are you going to know that the true dawn has come out? This is when you have a muazzin that keeps your time. And this is very, very important. For people to be rewarded, a muazzin should keep your time. You don't call the adhan anytime you like. You call it as such when it is due, when it is time to call the adhan, particularly the 2nd adhan, which is the adhan of Fajr. As for the first Adhan, there may be maybe about 30 minutes difference between the two. But let's assume that you will not call it around that time. Maybe you call it 15 minutes before the second Adhan. It doesn't matter. What matters most is the second Adhan, which marks the beginning of Fajr. So a good Muazzin is the one that keeps to that. Because when people hear his own Adhan, so those who are eating will stop eating. As the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Inna Bilalan yu'adhin bil-layl." Bilal will call his Adhan at night. Fakulu washrabu. Don't bother. Continue to eat and drink. Hatta yu'adhin ibn Ummi Maktoum. Till Amru, the son of Ummi Maktoum, calls his own Adhan. So he said, "Wa kana la yu'adhin hatta yuqala law asbahta asbahta." He will not call Adhan until what? It is said that it is Fajr, because he was a blind man. So until it was said to him that it was Fajr, then he will call the Adhan. So the point here is that the second Adhan is very, very important. A Muazzin that keeps to that, Wallah, is doing what? A very great job. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward the Muazzinun. So when you now know that a Muazzin is not keeping to the time, so disregard his Adhan. Disregard his Adhan. Once you know that the Adhan comes earlier than that, don't eat if you want to fast. Stop eating if you want to fast. Then you can observe your watch, Rakat al-Fajri, at that time. Because the time for Salatul Fajr has come in. So the Adhan of the Muazzin after the Fajr has come in, maybe 10 minutes, 20 minutes, 15 minutes after that, will be useless. Will be what? Will be useless. So it is very important to keep to the Adhan. We are not saying he shouldn't call. He can still call. It is still recommended that he calls even after the time as what? At coming, but for the Adhan to be useful, so it has to watch, agree with the time, so that it can also help those who want to stop eating, who wants to fast, so it can help the women who are not coming to the masjid to pray. Because if the Adhan is called before time, some people use it to pray, they pray before time, and if the Adhan is delayed, so those who want to pray and go some, maybe attend to some other things, will not be allowed to pray. Despite the fact that the time for Salah is coming. So, and that's why the Adhan is very, very important. So, Wallahu A'lam. Okay, last question. No. If? Okay. If he prays for rak'ah with the imam, okay. Now the question is, with respect to the man who needs to force rak'ah with the imam, and the imam made the mistake by rising to the fifth rak'ah, I said the Wahhabi opinion is that he should join the imam so that the fifth rak'ah will be his own fourth rak'ah. So the question is, if the imam now eventually knew that he made a mistake and he wanted to do sujood sahwi, is that man going to do sujood sahwi with him? The man did not forget. So the man joined him to complete his own watch. His own salah for rak'ah. But if he joins him, no harm. If he joins him, no harm. But the imam does not make a mistake. So Allahu a'lam. Subhanaka lahumma bihamdik ashhadu an la ilaha illa ant astaghfiruka. Give it to him. Yeah, give it to him. Bring, okay, carry, take down. I don't want you to break this one. Give down, give down. Next time you call me.
I'm not going to go to the hospital.